Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The title of the sermon today is Only the Lonely. No, not the words from the song made famous by Ray Orbison. But before we get to these three words, we need to unpack our gospel text just a little bit. And that involves looking at three other words first: humility, hospitality, and hope. Now, the incident in our story is that guests at a party started to take places of honor. Jesus told them a parable about a wedding banquet where people who took places of honor were told to go to lower places. Disgraced, they moved out of the top spots. On the other hand, those who took low places were told to go up higher. So in our text, Jesus said, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Our Old Testament lesson that we heard earlier from Proverbs added emphasis on the need for humility. We heard, "Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence, or stand in the place of the great, for it is better to be told, 'Come up here,' than to be put lower in the presence of a noble." Those who put themselves forward are taking a step backward in their spiritual life. Boastfulness, arrogance, rudeness are all unveiled as demonic means to self-destruction. The Pharisees in our text were boastful, arrogant, and rude. They thought of themselves more highly than they ought to think, and in addition, saw themselves as the judges of Jesus. Now, you can make the case for the theme of the story of Jesus going to a leading Pharisee's house as a trap. After all, in verse 1, at the end, it says they were watching him carefully. In addition to their other faults, the Pharisees were judgmental. In the first part of today's lesson, the host Pharisee and his friends tried to point out the errors of Jesus' ministry, since he healed a man with dropsy on the Sabbath day. Dropsy, that's a word you don't hear very often in our everyday language. It's an old term for the swelling of the soft tissues due to accumulation of excess water. Jesus' response was quick and stinging. He asked them, "What would you do if a child, your child, or an animal fell into a well on the Sabbath? Wouldn't they rescue the child or animal?" Of course they would. Jesus trapped the Pharisees in their own trap. He popped their preconceptions about their self-importance. He showed them that they were on a staircase to nowhere. Some of you may remember it was a number of years ago in the Chicago Tribune. There was an article ran about it, and it had a picture of a fire that had taken place at the Glenview Naval Air Station. I still remember it today because I remember laughing. The damage exceeded $10 million. The picture of the disaster featured a circular iron staircase, which had survived the fire but ended up detached from everything. And the title under the picture was "Staircase to Nowhere." That is what Jesus was saying to those who were exalting themselves. You are on a staircase to nowhere. Exalting yourselves keeps you out of the kingdom of God. Scheming for places of honor reveals a flaw in that character. Elbowing your way past others shows that there is a sinful ambition lurking in your heart. Self-seeking, the malady of the Pharisees in our story, is also the malady of many people today. As I thought about it, you can make a case for the theme of this passage being the need for humility. That would preach. But in addition to humility, you can make a case for this passage being about the need for hospitality. Beginning in verse 12, Jesus said, "When you give..." Maybe not. In verse 12, In verse 12, when you give a dinner, he said to them, let's go with this one. He said, when you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. In other words, don't get trapped in the game of social reciprocity. Social reciprocity means expecting to be repaid for your invitations by an invitation in return. When you do good to get back in kind, you're on a stairway to nowhere. Our epistle lesson today is about hospitality. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Hospitality means making strangers' needs more important than your own. When we do that, we often receive back much more than we ever receive. Abraham saw some strangers approaching his tent. He told his wife Sarah to prepare a meal, and while he talked with the strangers and made them feel at home, as they talked, one of the men said that Abraham and Sarah would have a child. They were old, very old. So when Sarah overheard the prediction, she laughed. 9 months later, a child was born to Sarah and Abraham. They named him Laughter, the English translation for the word Isaac. After long suffering and frustration as a childless couple who had been told they would be the father and mother of a great nation, joy came to Abraham and Sarah because of their hospitality to strangers. These strangers turned out to be angels from God. Abraham, who sought to give, received more than he gave. Hospitality, really paying attention to the needs of strangers, often results in unpredictable blessings coming back to the one offering hospitality. Like humility, this theme of hospitality would preach. But there's yet, I think, a third theme hiding in verses 12 to 14. As an extension of the parable about taking high and low seats at the banquet, Jesus focuses on the kinds of people who should be invited to a banquet. These are the lowly, undeserving people Jesus invited to the banquet of the kingdom of God. Hope. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. Those who are named here are the lost, the lonely, and the hopeless souls of society. Signs of those who love Jesus as the Savior really do include being humble, showing hospitality to strangers, and offering hope to seemingly the hopeless. Now, the context is important as we read the scriptures. And if you read the verses following today's lessons, if you looked at 15 to 24, there's additional context. The social etiquette of the time meant that many people were contacted far in advance of the banquet. Many agreed to come. As the date of the dinner approaches, a servant of the host would go out to those who had agreed to come to the banquet with news of the exact time they should arrive. That's when the excuses started. One man said he had a real estate deal that was important and he could not come. Another said he had just purchased oxen for his farm and he could not come. Another said he had just taken a wife and he could not come. And to us, maybe today, these excuses sound reasonable. But the pricking point of the parable is that these excuse makers did not put a priority on the host and his invitation. They did good things instead of the one needful thing. And that is exactly what was happening as Jesus announced the kingdom of God. Many were choosing good things over the needful thing. Many were making excuses, and some still are. There is nothing more important than God. But some people make something else more important. There are consequences for such bad choices. If we think something is more important than the kingdom of God, others take our place at the kingdom banquet. When the excuses were made, the host told his servants to invite seemingly hopeless souls of society, the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. In addition, in the second parable, Jesus urges that the tramps of his day, living in the bushes of the lanes and the roads, be compelled to come in. The word compel used here doesn't mean physically forced. Rather, it means urgently invited. The point of this parable is the answer to the question, who should be invited? And the answer may be surprising. Everyone and anyone who is willing to come. Who are these seemingly hopeless people Jesus wants to include in our understanding of the kingdom of God? Are they really the derelicts of society? Yes, but more. Are they the handicapped? Yes, but more. Are they the nobodies who have been humbled by what has happened to them in life? Yes, but more. Are they the strangers like Abraham's visitors? Yes, but more. Are they the lost and the lonely? Yes, they are. And we are all lost and lonely. We are all lost and lonely. That ought to bring us back to humility. We cannot get into the kingdom of God based on our achievements. It is not a matter of achieving, but receiving. It has been noted that all we bring to our salvation is the sin from which we need to be saved. Our contribution is acknowledging sin. God's contribution is everything else. Sometimes, only the lonely get it. We are all lost and lonely. That ought to bring us to hospitality. Since we have been invited into the kingdom, not based on our worthiness, but based on God's grace, we should offer hospitality to strangers on the same basis. We are all hopeless when it comes to the ultimate relationship in life, the relationship with God. But there is hope for the hopelessness, because Jesus died on the cross to give us the status of the children of God. But only those who acknowledge their loneliness, who stop pretending that all is well and take off the masks of self-satisfaction and are willing to follow the instruction God gives in His Word. Only the lonely repent. They have tried other methods of self-improvement that fail, other religious exercises that frustrate, and other means of trying to attain peace, only to discover that these are limited at best and totally self-defeating at worst. When we see that all these methods are hopeless, they turn back to God and repent. Only the lonely realize that they are not worthy to come to the Master's banquet. As soon as people think they are deserving, they miss the invitation. As soon as people take comfort in their own prosperity, they miss the wealth of the kingdom. As soon as people cover up the hole in their souls with things of the world, with success or wealth or notoriety, they forget that only Jesus can fill it. Only the lonely realize that their spiritual emptiness can only be filled by the one who made us. The fantasies and the illusions about happiness which are nurtured by the world standards are only discovered for what they are by those who find their loneliness remains when they attain what they thought they sought. Those who hunger for things of this world, and when they get what they want, really no longer want what they got. They want more. Only the lonely make their own wounds a source of healing for others. They invite strangers into their homes as well as into their hearts. This invitation is an offer of care more than cure. This is an invitation to intimacy and wholeness. Only the lonely understand the depths of the loneliness others feel. They are the only ones who are willing to listen and hear the depths of others' longings. Only those who are lonely and acknowledge that no one in the world can satisfy their hunger stop playing the world's games. They know that life is not a large scoreboard where the most points measure our worth. They refuse to sell their souls to the people of this world who think they can give out grades. Loneliness is not a good thing. But all of us have a hidden loneliness which can be the very stuff out of which God makes us into the children He wants us to be. When we are lost and lonely and know it, we are in the proper place to turn control of our lives over to God. That is what accepting the invitation to come to the kingdom banquet means, accepting that God is in control. Only the lonely who acknowledge that they are hopeless as to their own power in their search for God soon discover that God is seeking them. Only the lonely hear the call from God, "Come up higher." We close in prayer. Lord, I pray that as the Holy Spirit illuminates your word in our hearts, that it may take root. Show us ourselves. Expose those areas of our heart that are lost and lonely. Show us our Savior and make your word alive in each of us. We offer this to you today, Lord, in your name. Amen.